Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you very much for this time to open the scriptures. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. I'm going to read a fairly long portion of scripture, and I'm going to read it from the Jerusalem Bible. It's a Roman Catholic translation. It's an excellent translation. I've been reading it for the last, I've read through Mark and Luke, and I hope to finish it. So in the 18th chapter, verse 9, I'll read into the 19th chapter. The Gospel of Luke, first mistake this year. Luke 18, verse 9. If you're a visitor, you'll also be conscious that the emphasis is on the Word of God. We expect people normally to bring their Bibles for several reasons. To check to see that the preacher isn't cheating. And second, if it gets really boring up here, they can read whatever they like. And still go home with some profit. This is several events right in a row that Jesus tells us, and they're all shockers. Verse 9, he spoke the following parable to some people who prided themselves on being virtuous and despised everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood there and said this prayer to himself, I thank you, God, that I'm not grasping, unjust, adulterous like the rest of mankind, and particularly that I'm not like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all I get. The tax collector stood some distance away, not daring even to raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man, I tell you, went home again at rights with God. The other did not. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the man who humbles himself will be exalted. People even brought little children to him for him to touch them. But when the disciples saw this, they turned them away. But Jesus called the children to him and said, Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. I tell you solemnly, anyone who does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. A member of one of the leading families put this question to him. Good master, what have I to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not kill. You must not steal. You must not bring false witness. Honor your father and mother. He replied, I have kept all these from my earliest days till now. And when Jesus heard this, he said, There is still one thing you lack. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when he heard this, he was filled with sadness, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, How hard it is for those who have riches to make their way into the kingdom of God. Yes, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In that case, said the listeners, who can be saved? Things that are impossible for men, he replied, are possible for God. Then Peter said, What about us? We have left all we had to follow you. He said to them, I tell you solemnly, there is no one who has left house, wife, brothers, parents, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not be given repayment many times over in this present time and in the world to come, eternal life. Then taking the 12 aside, he said to them, Now we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man has come true. For he will be handed over to the pagans and will be mocked, maltreated, and spat on. And when they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And the third day he will rise again. But they could make nothing of this. What he said was quite obscure to them. They had no idea what it meant. Now as he drew near to Jericho, there was a blind man sitting at the side of the road begging. When he heard the crowd going past, he asked what it was all about. And they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by. So he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The people in front scolded him and told him to keep quiet. But he shouted all the louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and ordered them to bring the man to him. When he came up, asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Sir," he replied, "let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." And instantly his sight returned, and he followed him, praising God, and all the people who saw it gave praise to God for what had happened. One more story. He entered Jericho and was going through the town when a man whose name was Zacchaeus made his appearance. He was one of the senior tax collectors and a wealthy man. He was anxious to see what kind of man Jesus was, but he was too short and could not see him for the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus who was to pass that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and spoke to him. "Zacchaeus, come down. Hurry, because I must stay at your house today." And he hurried down and welcomed him joyfully. They all complained when they saw what was happening. "He has gone to stay at a sinner's house," they said. But Zacchaeus stood his ground and said to the Lord, "Look, sir, I am going to give half my property to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody, I will pay him back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek out and save what was lost." Okay, these are just four or five shocking stories where the answer is the opposite to what we think it ought to be. Yesterday was just a busy day. Made the decision about Dan Nelson in the morning. Later in the day, met with two people from Peking, China. Took them to the Renaissance Fair. And talk with them about the Lord, atheists, and they asked if they could bring a car full of people to the baptism this afternoon, other people from mainland China. Last evening till late, I was with an Iranian group that meets, all strong Islamic followers of the Prophet Muhammad. And it was a wonderful collision. A very happy kind of collision. And there'll be a car full of them at the baptism this afternoon. Those of you who testify this afternoon, speak distinctly. Well, but we saw the differences in what people think is necessary for salvation. And you see it here. The first instance we had was a religious man who didn't do wrong things. The second story is of adults versus children. And children, and Jesus gives the endorsement to the children. In the first one, he gave his endorsement to the wicked man, not to the religious, righteous man. The wicked man who was repentant, rather than to the righteous man, relatively righteous man, who did not think he needed to repent. He was religious, but not righteous. Religious but not forgiven because he did not think he needed forgiveness. And then he tells the story. Anyone who does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. It's one of the things we've run across here, probably in every community, but in a university community. Some of the young students here have been very loving to a 90-year-old professor. And I went to see him the other day. And he said, very strongly, "These young kids telling me I'm 90 years old." I said, "That has nothing to do with it. People think the more educated they are, the older they are, the more qualified they are to answer spiritual questions. And Jesus said, no, they get less qualified the older they get. The more educated they get, you've got to become like a little child. In the previous account, he said, he who exalts himself shall be humbled. And the word is humiliated. And he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So the wicked man got into the kingdom. The religious man did not. The child gets in, the adult does not. Unless the adult wishes to become like a little child. Then he tells of a very wealthy, upright, healthy young man. We know he's wealthy, he tells us. No, he's upright. He said he obeyed all the commandments, all the ones that Jesus asked him. We know he was healthy because in the Gospel of Mark account, it says he came to Jesus running. He was running and rich, healthy, righteous. Jesus asked him, I think, 6 commandments. You know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not kill. You must not steal. You must not bring false witness. Honor your father and mother. 5. Jesus left out 5 of the commandments. He asked the man the 5 commandments the kid had kept. And left out the 5 he didn't keep. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall not covet. What did I leave out? Anyhow, there's 4. He left out covetousness. He left out the Sabbath day. He left out the commandments in relationship to God. Jesus didn't say, you've kept 5 and you've not kept 5. He said, one thing you lack. And then didn't tell him what it was. In effect, he told him to do several things. He said, take everything you have, sell it, give the money to the poor, take up your cross, follow me. The things that he told him to do were not the things that would get him into heaven. Although it says that, he said, you will have treasure in heaven, them come, follow me. People say, do I have to sell everything I have to go to heaven? No, this was to tell him the one thing he lacked. And what he lacked was a relationship to God. Money was God. He was God. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You don't do anything. God did it. But people, as long as they think they can do it, the religious man, the Pharisee thought he could do it. The adult thought he could do it. The wealthy man, the healthy man, thought he could do it. Jesus is narrowing it down to point out that people can't do it. In fact, he finally gets to the cross. He says, how hard it is for those of riches to make their way into the kingdom of God. Yes, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I've heard sermons on what this eye of the needle is. It's missing it. Doesn't make any difference whether it was a small gate in Jerusalem or whether it was a needle. The camel couldn't get through. It didn't make any difference. And they knew what he was saying. And in the Gospel, Mark, he amplifies it and says, those who trust in riches. And the disciples really got it and said, who then can be saved? You mean if you can't trust in riches, nobody's going to make it. Jesus said, right. Yes, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In that case, said the listeners, who can be saved? We're all rich. Things that are impossible for men, he replied, are possible for God. And that's what he's getting down to. Religious man thought he's going to make it because he's religious. But the wicked man got in, the religious man did not. The adult, no way. He's got to become an old child. The healthy, wealthy, righteous man, no. When he got down to it, he walked away. Jesus wants to get down to the point where people know it's impossible for men to do it, and it's possible for God. Salvation is the business of God. It's not the business of people. God, as we heard a couple times this morning already, Jesus Christ came to this world to save us. He's the Savior. Salvation is His business. So we do it His way. Man and the religions of man have tried to make it man's way. That's what the collision was about last night. I may tell you the story here in a minute. Then Peter said, what about us? Are we going to make it? Religious man, the Pharisees didn't make it. The adults didn't make it. The rich men didn't make it. How about us? Are we going to make it? We've left everything. And he said, I tell you solemnly, there is no one who has left house, wife, brothers, parents, or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not be given repayment many times over in this present time and in the world to come eternal life. You say, is that what I've got to do? No, again, we're getting down to the point of God doing the saving. And in the next paragraph, he tells us how it's possible for God. The end of it, it says they can make nothing of this. What he said was quite obscure to them. They had no idea what it meant. But that's what it was, how it was possible. They could make nothing of this. It was quite obscure to them. They had no idea what it meant and what it was. For he will be handed over to the pagans and will be mocked, maltreated, and spat on. And when they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day, he will rise again. That's how it will take place. Not based upon how religious you are, how adult you are, how educated you are, how good you are. Impossible for men, possible for God. And they didn't know what he's talking about. The deity of Jesus Christ, his death for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead. That's how. That's the good news. Now, as he drew near to Jericho, there was a blind man. We talked about the religious man, the adult, the healthy man, the apostles. Now we get to a blind man. And this blind man is not only blind, he's begging. Several times in this little instances that we've gone through, they tried to shut up the person. They tried to shut up the people who were bringing little children to Jesus. Get away. They try to shut off the blind man. And they try to shut off Zacchaeus later on. But it's the people they try to shut off that Jesus approaches. Suffer the little children to come to me. They try to cut off the blind man. So he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The people in front scolded him and told him to keep quiet, but he shouted all the louder. Son of David, have pity on me. Jesus stopped and ordered them to bring the man to him, and when he came, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Big difference between this blind man and the rich man. The rich man said, good master, what have I to do to inherit eternal life? What do I got to do? I'll do it. Jesus said, all right, here's something. Do this. And he couldn't do it. He wanted to do something to make it to eternal life. You can't do anything to make it to eternal life. The blind man knew he couldn't. He was blind and begging. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I'd like to see. He said, good enough. But he not only said, you see, but you're saved. Your faith has saved you, and instantly his sight returned, and he followed him, praising God, and all the people saw it, gave praise to God for what had happened. The child made it. That tax collector made it. The child made it. The blind man made it. Now we got another tax collector. He He was anxious to see what kind of man Jesus was, but he was too short and could not see him for the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus, who was to pass that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and spoke to him. "Zacchaeus, come down. Hurry, because I must stay at your house today." And he hurried down and welcomed him joyfully. They all complained when they saw what was happening. "He has gone to stay at a sinner's house," they said. But Zacchaeus stood his ground and said to the Lord, "Look, sir, I'm going to give half my property to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody, I'll pay him back four times the amount." That is restitution. This guy just wasn't being virtuous. He'd been so unvirtuous in his life, he was just making restitution for everybody he'd cheated, ripped off. He's giving it back. 400%. Which is what was required in certain parts of the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 21. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." Okay, I went through this fast, rapidly, to point out that man isn't able to do any saving of himself. You can't make it by effort. I've shared this story, I think, with the students before, but I shared it last night with these Muslims. And one of the physics professors was there, Dr. Johnston. I spoke to the group and I said, "Suppose Dr. Johnston is teaching a class called Differential Equations." Now, Differential Equations was a class I had 33 years ago. I've forgotten it, not because it was 33 years ago, because I forgot it the next day. In fact, I never knew it to forget it. The only thing I remember about it is the title of the course. It's one of those things that you don't like to, when you don't understand something, you don't like to study it. Is that true? When you understand something, you study it all the more. So you get two grades, A's and D's. But the one you should study is the one you don't know. But the one you don't know is the one you don't study. Well, this is, let's suppose, and I've mentioned it to these students, suppose we're taking this course and Dr. Johnston calls us in and says, "I want to give you good advice. Work. Study. No work, no study, no pass. This is works righteousness here. There's no grace here. Study." We don't study. We none of us study. He keeps calling us in this all semester. Work. Study. No study. Finally, the final exam comes along, and he's walking down between the desks. He looks at my desk, and he sees I haven't the faintest idea what I'm doing. Blank sheet of paper. He said, "Wilson, get up. I'll take the final for you." I said, "Doc, that's good news." Okay, now, the real issue, mankind has wanted to get it on their own by working and study, but they don't. We're in Flunksville. None of us going to make it. We stand before the, because there's only one passing grade. That's 100%. God does not grade on the curve. And we're all hoping he does. If it's average, if we go in on an average, all kinds of, heaven would be hell. Guess who'd be there? Other people like me. Now, God doesn't do it that way. We do not do it by the things we don't do. We do not get in by the things we do do. We do not get in by being adult and educated. We get in by letting God take the final for us. That's the only way it can be for everyone. And he already took it. Not for some people, but for everybody in the world. Well, the people... last night said, well, that's not fair. Oh, it'd only be unfair if he just took the final for a couple of us. That'd be unfair. But he took the final for everyone. Everybody gets a free 4 point. But you've got to admit, you can't make the 4 point on your own by being good. The problem with these people here, they all thought they could make it except the little child and the blind man and Zacchaeus. The rest of them were doing it by some sort of effort. And Jesus laid it out to them and said, look, the grades are higher than that. The standard is higher. You're not going to make it. It's impossible with man, but it's not impossible with God. God made it possible. And the Son of Man's going to die, be buried, rise again from the dead. It was obscure to them. They didn't know. But it's no longer obscure. The good news is that Jesus Christ took the final force. The booklets on the table are more explanations of how he took that final force. If you're not sure of your salvation, as Malcolm and Kathy expressed this morning, then I would start searching. Read these booklets, get a New Testament, go after it. Not because of effort, but because God will know that you're saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm coming on your conditions, not on mine. Let's thank God. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. We pray that you would wonderfully draw people to yourself this morning. We pray those who have not known you but would like to would call upon you this day by saying, God, I want to come your way, not my way. I'm a sinner. I need the Savior. I believe he died for me, rose again from the dead for me. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Master. Thank you, Father, for my salvation in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.